Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Welcome to the Mac Show from the British Tech Network. I nearly stumbled over that because we've had a few false starts with the IRC chat room, to say the least. Here's me. And the chat room, there's a few of us have been on our own, but we're not on our own anymore. I've got a great panel with me to discuss this week's Mac news, and there's tons of it for once, or a little bit. Don McAllister, top left. How's it going, pal?
Good afternoon, Ewan. It's going very well, thank you. IRC chat room. I thought you said something else there. IRC. It's
good evening.
Good evening.
It's damn near good evening, isn't it? That's a trouble.
God, blimey. How are you anyway? I'm fine.
I'm all right, mate. We missed you last week because we changed our day, of course. And
I screwed up as well because I was the original one who suggested Wednesday and then realised I couldn't actually make Wednesday after I came off the show, and then you rearranged it to Thursday, which was the one I couldn't make anyway. Sorry about that.
How is your good lady? Because that was the trip.
Fine. Yeah. It's, just got to go back for another checkup in it, which actually tails into one of our stories that we're going to talk about later. But she's fine.
Your wife has made Mac news.
Not really, but we'll come to that when we come to it.
Excellent. Next to Don, we've got our venerable, old stable supplier of Mac information from the inside.
Shh. I try.
It's the Swags. How's it going, man? Long time.
It's been a while. Yeah, I mean, I've had done the birthday thing, and then last week, what the heck happened last week? I don't know. It's been in all NBA for me, so I apologize for last week, though. I think it was last week I was supposed to. Oh, 2 weeks before I was supposed to be on the show. Yeah. And we had massive chaos here, so deeply apologize for that. You know, but it's all good now.
Nope, no problem at all. Next to him, Chris Forsman, hot off a two-man show for the photo show. What's been going on in the recent 20 minutes? Apart from what I see.
I fed the dogs and good. Let them outside, and I ate some double chocolate Crave cereal.
Damn, that was good audio. Double chocolate Crave cereal. That sounds unhealthy.
All I know is it has 8 grams of whole grains per serving, and only 3.5 grams of fat.
Oh well, that's okay. That sounds good.
And it's healthy chocolate.
Next to him, Mr. Andy Lee, joining us from a room in a city where we can't tell you.
It's a secret. From a secret location. Yeah.
A secret location. How you been, Bill?
I'm good, yeah.
I'm great. Sorry I missed Geek Ribs this week.
Busy week. I'm looking forward to the rugby tomorrow as well.
I can't go because I've got rugby of my own. Buggers, they're qualified. Big playoff at my place tomorrow. We've got Old Salts are playing against Borsal and Berkswell for the right to go up and play in the next grade of rugby above. So if you're around the Birmingham area, send me a tweet or a text and come on over and I'll buy you a beer. At my rugby club. Who's going to win tomorrow then? I take it Army. Just
of course Army,
not going to be
statistically it should be a whitewash, but
the girls that float in the boats aren't going to take you, not a chance. And next to him it's Dr. Smelly Crap. How you doing, mate?
Going to need a tad
of explanation. Yes, talk us through how your office smells, mate.
I tell you what, it smells like somebody used to be running a curry house in our office, and it closed down 10 years ago, and the new owners have just cracked it open and walked in. That's what it... God, I mean, curry is not the worst smell in the world. It's actually quite a good smell. But my wife had these curtains delivered yesterday, and she just unwrapped them from the bag they were in, and it was... We had to take, 10 steps back. It just... The whole place reeks of stale curry.
Is it raining where you are?
It's pouring down.
So that's why she can't work on the outside of the office and just run a lead out.
Yes, she should be having the tables in the car park and everything out there. But I don't understand how people can deliver stuff like that.
Well, it is kind of disrespectful, I've got to say. So
it is a bit, I mean, some quite often clients don't wash curtains; they come in all sorts of odd states and things. But Mind you, some people leave some pretty strange stuff on their Macs when they bring those in as well.
but exactly, yeah. You haven't. Don't tell me you've had No, no, we won't even say that word. No, we're not even discussing what kind of effluent could be on there. The week in Apple.
No, nothing like that.
WWDC was launched and announced, and 2 hours later was gone. Steve Jobs wanted to dress up, not in anything that was a transvestite, you'll be pleased to hear, but Willy Wonka, which is the second down on that scale, not the best. Transvestite would have been a shade higher. Kaspersky says...
I disagree.
Really? We'll talk about that later then, after the show. Sure. Kaspersky said, the CEO Kaspersky has said, Ethan or whatever his name is, Eugene Kaspersky has said that Apple is 10 years behind in security in terms of safe machines behind Microsoft. And, sorry?
Bull.
And Microsoft has issued Office 2011 Service Update 2. Service pack, so there we go. Where should we start? WWDC, by any chance?
Yeah. That's the real news.
It's the real news. What's the big... what's the hoo-ha this year? Are we going to get excited about it? Is there something worth having, or is it just the usual tut of Apple hyping it up?
New Mac Pros!
It's my $40 gone is what it is.
New Mac Pros. I might go along with that.
Right, so the first
you
call...
Mac Pros? No. Would you?
Who's got the echo? So the new Mac Pros, yes or no? You're Don saying possibly.
No.
I never said a word there.
Yeah,
and possibly.
And it's me echoing.
It's you, yeah. Have you got your volume down on your computer? Or the headphones not plugged in?
Headphones are in.
Right, now you've stopped echoing.
Cool, okay.
Right, good. There we go. So, Don saying...
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there's going to be big announcements about iOS 6. I mean, that's going to be the big thing. And also Mountain Lion as well, although we probably won't see anything new for Mountain Lion, but I would imagine they'll be quite close to releasing it by then. But iOS 6 and how that integrates with Mountain Lion is going to be a big deal. I mean, lots of upset as well, before we even talk about the contents, about it selling out in 2 hours this time.
Mm.
They even released the tickets at, was it 5:30 in the morning on the West Coast? So that lots of the West Coast developers didn't even get a chance to actually get a ticket this time around. Mm. So lots of disgruntlement in the developer community.
Well, what's really interesting is, too, is they opened it up to... people as young as 13 now, their parents can buy them a ticket. If they have a parent that's a registered developer, they can buy them a ticket and because they want to encourage students to come. But I can't imagine any kids were that up early being like, "Mommy, buy me a ticket to WWDC for $1,600.
Yeah, it's a $1,600 as well, isn't it?
So it's like they kind of opened up this room for younger people to come, but there's no way they were... even got a chance to get one. Now they do have scholarships, a limited number of scholarships they could sign up for, and they have like a week to get their application in because it's May 2nd is a deadline for that. But kids, if you want to go to WWDC, go to apple.com, developer.apple.com.
Well, you're too late anyway.
Scholarship
now.
App.
Is there still? There's not many left though.
Tickets left. There's no
scholarship. Thing. Yeah, but there's no scholarship tickets left. Well, there is.
Yeah, there is. The deadline's May 2nd, so how many there are, Apple hasn't explicitly said, but...
Mm. Two.
They have said this year that they're going to stream a large number of the sessions, which I don't think they actually streamed them live before, from what I remember.
Is that going to be a subscription stream, or is that going to be...
I'm assuming it's going to be to people who are registered developers, paid developers probably, because that's what it is. Once they release the actual video, I think you need to be a paid developer to get the first access to it.
They don't charge it. I think they used to charge extra for it, but now they're free. But and they're getting very, very quick. I mean, the reason people go over there is for the, well, one, for the sessions, but also for the one-to-ones that you can have with the Apple engineers. There's about 1,000 Apple engineers on site during WWDC. But, you know, the sessions were a big draw as well, because they used to take 3 or 4 months before they'd actually produce the sessions and push them out as videos. But as of last year or the year before, they got them out literally within 2 or 3 weeks of the conference closing. So that sort of takes away some of the criticisms that they were getting, that people couldn't go to the sessions. And now they do supply those sessions very, very quickly. But of course, it's the whole networking and meeting with Apple developers that the people who don't get a ticket can't actually do.
Mm.
But I'm seeing that there's a lot of people going out there without a ticket this time around.
Including you.
And again, that seems to be a trend. Pardon?
Is that including you?
I don't know. I actually had a ticket. Because I was intending to go, but unfortunately, and this leads into the story before, my wife's actually got another appointment in the week of WWDC. So I had the ticket there, and I thought, well, should I just go for the first couple of days and then come back? And then I thought, nah. So I gave away my I didn't actually buy the ticket in the end. So, but I still might, I don't know, I still might go over for the like the weekend before in a couple of days. I don't know. I'm undecided.
Just, I'll leave it till a bit near just the time. For the drinking.
Just for the, you know, for the, well, if I can get into the keynote, if I can get a press pass or something and get into the keynote, that might be worth it. Or, and you know, there's still lots of events that happen around periphery of WWDC. So that's always useful to go across. Not just the drinking, you know.
Did you see the guy that was desperate for a ticket?
Oh, yeah.
And he was so desperate that he's actually said that he's willing to change his name. he said he's changed his name. He's also willing to act for jury service for a period of 6 months afterwards to help the person out if they get jury service, appear at functions, etc., in the name, and he said also to see their senile old grandmother in their stead. And he said there was a $500 bonus if your name was already Jebediah, though, which. That's the only thing that makes me think there's a bit sus in this one. A bit of April Fool's. Because no one's going to call their kid Jebediah. And if they do, no one's going to own up to it, surely. If there's a Jebediah listening, I really apologise. It doesn't strike me as the name.
Too late now.
Okay, we're done. Yeah. Stop digging, Rankin.
We're not going to bring up our art teacher again, are we?
Anyone? No, we don't do the art teachers. You've already done your art teacher. So the... You need to listen to the photo show to get that one, sorry. WWDC logo, there you go. It's a whole load of squares on their side, looking colourful. And we had some suggestions in the chat room as to what it was. But, I mean, does that give any clues to content of WDC? I mean, everyone likes to pick these things apart, doesn't it?
Those rounded squares for the logos, aren't they? For the apps, that's what I can see.
Is that it? Because if that's it, that's really crap. Mm.
I mean, there's this talk about the new shape button on the new iPhone. It's going to be have the rounded corners instead of the circular style that the current ones have got. See,
that's funny. I keep hearing that, and I keep hearing that the new iPhone is not going to have a button.
No, none at all.
That's what I keep hearing, is it's not going to have a button. Remember, Steve always envisioned that he wanted to get rid of that button.
Yeah.
And we already have the gestures and things already on the iPad. And I think with the bigger screen that we keep hearing about that's coming on the new iPhone, I think it's possibility that they could literally get rid of the home button. I wouldn't say all the buttons, because you got to still have the power button and probably the rocker switches for the volume control and that thing and the mute switch. But the home button, I've heard, is gone on the next next iPhone.
And how sure of that are you?
40%.
Okay, so it's not a huge one. What's the?
No, because I've heard it a long time ago, and then I've heard it again, and you know, just here and there.
What are we doing on the update as far as smaller iPads concerned? Is that still a goer?
I've still heard June 26. iReader. I'm hearing definitely that's what it's going to be called. iReader.
We heard iReader, and we published that, thanks to you and your contact, on in January 25th. We said we called it, and we said June 26th. And as soon as June 11th came out, I was kind of like, that's about right. That's 14 days away, 15 days away from being the product will be available in 2 weeks' time. That's a bit coincidental. But no TV yet, Kyle. No.
No, I've got to get my $40 Monopoly money ready. I really do. No. What I've actually have heard is the TV is, it's coming, but I just think they've pushed it. I haven't heard any more about the stupid TV. I'm a little pissed about the TV, actually, because I really thought I'd be here. So
you were definitely planning.
I think it has something to do with screen supply, actually, because I don't think that they can, I think for what they're wanting to do with this thing, I think they're having problems with choosing the actual going to be their supplier for the screens for the things.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought that was the least of their worries. I mean, there is a ton of panels out there at the moment, surely.
That's the thing. There's a ton of panels, and I think they're wanting to do something completely different. They don't want to be in the sea of a ton of panels. I think they want to do something, well, as they would say with the iPad, revolutionary. And if they can achieve that kind of resolution on a 37-inch screen, imagine it.
Well, they already can. That's the point. I mean, Retina displays is about how far away you are from it, and my TV's already got Retina display at 1080.
I mean, the only reason they go up to a higher resolution on a TV is if they're going to support something like 4K or something, but I think we're still quite a way off that, really, to be honest.
Well, based on the fact, given the current technology that was around at the time, launching an Apple TV on 720p, Apple is never going to leapfrog to 4K. Apple is follower. No, on resolution like that, Apple is a follower, not a leader, by any stretch of the imagination. We've got a competition for the chat room. If you're in the chat room, and you've got to be in the chat room, then we want your analysis of what the logo means. And we've got a copy of Camtasia 2 to give away and a copy of Snagit 2 to give away. So if you come up with something that's a decent suggestion that I like, and it's judges' decision's final, I'm afraid, what that logo means, and if you come out with if it's just the logos for the home screen on an Apple iPhone or whatever, then you're not winning. Okay,
I've got a theory, but I don't want to enter the competition.
No, go on then. Go on. What is it?
I don't know. I think at WWDC this time around, that they're going to focus on screen resolution for laptops and desktops. I think we're going to see some announcements about new screens in the new laptops and this new resolution independence that you have to do. There might be some tricks that developers have to do with their applications to fully support it. I know we've seen it on the iPad that you can switch your display. One of the applications, you can actually switch it into this resolution independence mode and see your desktop across on the iPad. But although the iPad's this extremely high resolution, you see it in its normal resolution, but very detailed. Mm. And I think we'll be seeing that this year on some of the laptops and possibly on iMacs, etc. And I don't know if developers have to do anything special on their applications, but WWDC will be a good place to discuss it, really.
Ian's currently leading with a free bag of Tutti Frutti's with every new iMac, because they are Tutti Frutti's.
They do look like Tutti Frutti's.
I'm now salivating, Ian. You bugger.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb.
Coloured iMacs. Is that what they're going to do? That means all the colours. It means they're going to go back to strawberry iMacs, Dalmatian iMacs.
I love strawberry. Snozberry? Do you have Snozberry?
Can you? What's the thought on your side of the pond then, Chris, over content for WWDC? Any hot tips or any mumbles or words, or are you as blind as the rest of us? And deaf, obviously, as well. No? Hello? Any predictions, mate? The way this works is I question, you talk. There we go. Try again.
Hello? Is this thing on?
All right, I was only joking. There's no need to do that.
So,
who called the cops?
Keep in mind that June 11th is exactly 7 days after Intel is supposed to ship the rest of the Ivy Bridge processor. So I think there's going to be a lot of hardware.
Apple don't want to delay on that, though. Would they cut it that fine, 7 days, and Intel go, well, actually, we're not going to make shipment?
No, well, they've already delayed it, haven't they? So I would imagine those dates are the final, they're the absolute dates that when they can deliver by.
Did they delay it for Apple? Ooh.
No, I don't think they did.
Super Chicken in the chat room has said, nice to see that Chris is as blonde as the rest of us. Oh, man.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Go on, let's hear it. Is it double or quits on the $40?
Yeah, it is, actually. I'm seeing red, I'm seeing blue, and I'm seeing green. From what I've heard about the TV, I'm still going to say a TV.
It's just June. Do you think you'll get a dispensation on being only a month out?
I don't know. Probably not. I'm screwed, really, so I might as well say anything now.
You had that $40 spent, didn't you? That was a night out with the missus.
No. It was going towards the TV.
How far does $40 go for Manila? I nearly said vanilla then. $40 of vanilla, mate. That's a lot.
Oh, that'll buy me a Thunder Chicken cable.
One Thunder Chicken cable.
Yeah, actually, half a cable.
Mind you, to throw a lifeline out to Kyle, WWDC, if they're bringing out an Apple TV, and they need to put an SDK in place for people to start developing new applications for, the Apple TV. You never know. WWDC.
Well, I appreciate it, Dom. I appreciate it, Dom, but don't ruin your career over me.
I mean, if there's a resolution issue by going to a smaller iPad or a TV screen, WWDC is the place where you'd want to make sure that people clearly understood what that issue was.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they announced the original Retina display for the iPhone. It was actually announced at WWDC, and there were sessions that sort of showed the developers how to what graphics were needed, and the naming conventions that they needed to build them into their apps. So that is the place where Apple will put across the information if there are some major changes. But I'm thinking more of the resolution for the desktop. It's probably not going to be that big a deal, to be honest. It's probably something very easy that they can get better at. The Apple TV.
Bomber McAllister's back.
if they do open up the platform so we can start, even if it's not a fully blown Apple TV, the plasma display that everyone keeps talking about, even if it's just they open up the platform so that people can start developing apps for the existing Apple TV, they still need to bring on, SDK or increase the capabilities of iOS to support the Apple TV as well. So, we could actually see that as part of iOS 6, an opening up of the platform to not only develop for the current iOS platforms, but also for the Apple TV as well.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say no apps on Apple TV. Never going to happen.
Games?
No apps.
No apps. There might be widgets that people buy, like the Netflix app and that kind of stuff, that get built into the hardware to go and get content. But I can't see there being a free-for-all with apps.
Are you talking about on the Apple TV or the TV television? Either one.
On the current Apple TV, there will never be apps.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
I don't think Apple wants that whole thing on there.
So you're agreeing with me, Andy?
I'm agreeing with you.
So go on, agree with me some more. Why?
I agree with you, and I think that the Apple TV has got a very focused message and a very focused role in life, and that's what it does.
Content delivery.
And I think that all Apple will do is add more channels of content into that. And I don't think they don't want the purpose of the Apple TV being fragmented by other developers and apps at all.
Yeah, but that's when we talk about apps on the Apple TV, that's what we mean, content delivery channels. So, to allow independent people, not everyone can go to Apple and have a Netflix widget or their content widget built to go onto the Apple TV.
No, but I don't think they want to let you and your free-for-all content onto their machine.
Yeah, possibly. The only fly in the ointment is the fact that you've got AirPlay, so people can develop apps for the iPhone and for the iPad and deliver content that way. But I still think that there's an opportunity for content providers to actually develop native apps or native content conduits to go onto the Apple TV.
Chris,
I agree.
I think the opportunity is there. I think it's what the users want. They don't want to have to try to get HBO Go set up and working on their iPad and then stream it to their Apple TV. And if the Apple TV just had HBO Go built in, they could just watch it right on the Apple TV.
Because
I hear this from people all the time.
I've got to say that I find Netflix one of the most painful experiences I've ever seen in my entire life on any kind of device that hasn't got a frigging keyboard built into it. Because every time I go on Netflix, it goes, oh, looks like we've not got your password. Can you give us your password, please? I really wish I hadn't picked that really long password with all the uppercase and lowercase characters in it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay, because you don't need to put the password in, because if you do put the password into Netflix, what you then get is, oh dear, we don't appear to have anything you want to watch.
That's not true,
Netflix
actually.
Netflix sucks in the UK, but it's pretty good, pretty awesome here in the US.
No, I mean, Netflix in the UK, I pay my $5.99 a month, and I'm very happy with the content. Thank you very much. The kids come in from school, and Ellis has got to the stage now where he used to kind of switch on Nickelodeon sometimes and watch it. But now he sits down and he puts the Apple TV on. And the beautiful thing that you got is there is you can look for the kids' TV by characters. So even Bryony can navigate to Dora because she goes through it and she looks and finds Dora. And she knows that she's getting Dora when she clicks it, and that's the end of it. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But every time she clicks it, it's like, Daddy! And I've got to go in and it's like, please put your password in again. And there's no keyboard on the device. And I just...
Now, you know that you can use your iPhone or iPad as a keyboard, right?
When you get that set up, let me know, because that's another painful experience. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, that works fine for me.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll
never used it on Netflix, I have to say, but normally if I'm entering text onto the Apple TV, I always get the iPhone or the iPad. And that's...
I went to Maplin and I bought a small Bluetooth keyboard. I was so pissed off. I spent £30 on a Bluetooth keyboard. Because it's just a painful
experience, yeah. I mean, and the content selection isn't as good as it could be. Some stuff's pretty good, but yeah, I mean, like movies and stuff. It seems as though they maybe they're hamstringed in some way by Apple. I mean, they're sort of the chosen ones for the app that's built into the Apple TV, but Apple would rather you got the first run content from them directly and paying them rather than using the subscription for Netflix.
Hmm. Oh, I just don't like it.
Well, anyways, you're wrong about the apps.
Yeah.
I want to see apps.
I think the main point.
I mean, I don't necessarily want to see games and stuff. Certain stuff would be useful, but
no, I could TV believe
delivery and, you know, not so much movies, but that has its place as well. The actual direct channel sort of thing that's emerging on the iPad would be very useful.
But I mean, we're in the process still of getting onto Samsung TV for their IPTV stuff, and we're being allowed a channel. At the moment, the application gets knocked back for some technical reasons that we're trying to fathom out, because they don't help you very much on what's gone wrong. But there is never going to be a day where we're given a channel on Apple TV, like Samsung does it. I just do not see it. I think they'd let that. I don't think Apple even like podcasting as a discipline, and if you're not CNN, if you're not NBC or anything like that, they hate you.
No,
they hate us.
You know, because that's yeah, that'll help. You know, I think actually that's something we're going to see in iOS 6. I think we're going to see the capabilities of being able to subscribe to podcasts on our tablets, you know, on the iPad, on the iPhone, because people have clamored for it for so damn long. I mean, there's a lot of podcasters or people that listen to podcasts out there, and I think it needs to be there, and I think Apple needs that community, because this is the type of community that does buy their products. This is the college people, the hip, the trendy. They go against the grain of mainstream media. They want to go to Twitter. They want to use an app. And so I think they'll embrace that, because I think they need to, because that is their base consumer market now.
Every part of the code base they need to enable podcasting subscription from the device is actually there, because in iTunes U app, they have the ability to subscribe to a channel and to receive the fresh content as it's updated without doing anything else. So the code's been written. It's just their choice not to put it onto the podcasting side.
So say an apology, Ewan, so we can get in the freaking app store.
No, because the thing is, we've been around now for 4 years with iTunes. We've provided an awful lot of content for them to sell, in inverted commas, and promote their store free of charge. We're coming up to 4 years of having done that. And we've done a name change, I know, and we've recycled the RSS feed, because we were having a problem with those. And we're a new channel, in inverted commas, to them. But I wrote asking for a page where all of the podcasts could be linked, which I've got. I then asked for the tools to make it into a designed page, so you get your most popular episodes and that kind of stuff, so it looks more like the correct CNN type homepage for the network. And I got told, no, we keep that for our reserved partners. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 4 years. Don't tell me I'm not a good partner here. We produce 12 shows a week for you. You know, give us something to use. And they've just ignored me. They've just ignored me. I don't get a reply. Please, please, please reconsider, because we have been around for 4 years as Bagel Tech. Will you do it? No reply. Nothing at all. That's rude. I don't like rudeness.
It is rude.
It makes you want to go to Microsoft, doesn't it?
I really want to be in the Zoom store. Oh, hell yes.
Well, you'll be number one.
And number two.
Not with this show. We're still the number one Mac podcast in the UK. Thank you very much, everybody. Cheers. I'll have a read of a few reviews a bit later on, because they're good. Thank you very much. What else have we got? Apple have announced WWDC. Logo's in the chat room. People are going on about LSD for some reason. I don't understand. Whether it's, that's like a... Ian's got a luminescent super display, but he's complained that he's been up all night working, so he's a bit punchy. High-res 11-inch Air, says Paul. He would like one. And Apple's TV... Is the suggestion on titles. And someone said something good about... I can't find it now. But it was...
Appless.
Here we go. The logo means apps everywhere. It's the year that they announced iOS takes over after post Mountain Lion. Mountain Lion will be the last desktop OS.
No.
I hope not.
Why not? You don't want iOS on your computer.
Well, we're basically kind of already getting there, aren't we? I mean, with the integration of the... I don't know. I'm getting old. I like my computer to be my computer, and I like my phone to be my damn phone. But, you know, and on top of that, hey, iCloud still sucks.
Hey, everyone, get off Kyle's lawn, okay?
Yeah.
No, I mean... just basically simple things like this. Switching this show, I could not do on an iOS device. It would be physically impossible for me. Not because of computing power, but the fact that I've got a Logic screen over here running the audio. I've got iTunes open here for reviews. I've got all the stories open in this window. I've got the chat room open here. And I've got Wirecast open in front of me to switch all of the views. That just wouldn't happen.
It's like six iPads.
It is. It's six iPads. Exactly that. That's exactly it. It's six iPads. That would never happen in an iOS device. It's just not possible. I can't see how they can get rid of Mountain Lion, but the suggestion is, can't get rid of a desktop OS. Will they get rid of a desktop OS?
No, well, it's a whole different sort of, I hate to use the word, but paradigm, isn't it? I mean, you've got this small mobile device, which has got a small screen, so it's very sort of single application based, and you switch between the applications by swiping between them, whereas a desktop PC or Mac, you know, you've got a large display, it's a window display, and it's sort of meant for different things. I mean, there's nothing to stop them having the same base core operating system, you know, based on the same code. But it depends on the device, you know, how that's presented to you. And, you know, on a large desktop display, it's always going to be a windowed environment that you can easily switch between. And on a smaller screen mobile display, it might always just be a single pane view that you can switch between.
Are we going to end up with like a Metro interface that you can then swap back to a classic interface? No.
Tim Cook said no way.
Tim Cook said no way. Not Metro.
Yeah,
if they got rid of desktop OSs, what would you develop the applications on? The moment that you don't have any choice.
I knew we asked you on this show for a reason. You sit there for an hour saying bugger all, and you come out with an absolute gem, mate. Thank you.
I've said stuff.
It's kind of a compliment. Kind of. Okay. So Kaspersky says Apple's 10 years behind Microsoft in terms of security, and Chris starts off with the open gambit of bull. Explain why that's utter bull for us, please, Chris.
Well, he's just talking out of his ass. I mean,
I was hoping for slightly a differing opinion, but that'll do.
He's trying to sell his antivirus software. And I mean, let's face it. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to scare the bejesus out of everyone, and it's just not true. It's just not true. I mean,
yeah, they're
OS 10 address space layout randomization, which was the big feature in Windows 7, one of the big security features. And what this does is it randomizes where certain common operating system code libraries are put into memory. It's done randomly every time it boot. So what a lot of exploits do is it would try to eat outside the memory of a particular application and then jump to a space in memory where they knew a certain operating system call would be. Since now those are randomly laid out, you know, you can't tell it to jump somewhere in memory and then expect there to be a useful command there. So Apple has started implementing this in Leopard. It was fully implemented in Snow Leopard in Lion. In Mountain Lion, they have an even better, robust implementation. You're talking about security features. They're pretty on par. Lion's close. Mountain Lion will be on par with Windows 7, if not better. And then you got Gatekeeper on top of that coming in Mountain Lion, which kind of locks down, or at least at the control of the user, can lock the operating system down to only install software from trusted developers, or even more, just from the Mac App Store. So you wouldn't even be able to you know, and like accidentally install some idiot thing you downloaded, you know, if you're not paying attention while you're trolling porn sites. So it's extremely inaccurate and unfair. He's just trying to sell antivirus software.
Well, I mean, the particular criticism that's leveled is the cycle of updates. He's not saying that they can't defend against viruses, because they clearly can, but he's saying the cycle and response is too slow. It's not good enough. It's not quick enough. It's not frequent enough. And that's
slow,
possibly
but
fair.
The issue with Java is going to go away because they have abandoned it, and Oracle have stepped up and said they're going to release the next version for it.
You can't walk away from it.
The one that was majorly, majorly behind, because they were very slow on it anyway, and they have abandoned it. So
hang on, let's just be clear about the policy of you know, the policy of Apple now. When something is discovered as a weakness, is to walk away from it.
It wasn't really walking away. They never liked it in the first place.
Oh no! It's on, and that's the end of it.
It's similar to Flash. It's the same type of. It's exactly the same. Nature of program. It's something that you write other code in that runs on multiple platforms, and that obviously Apple don't like that as a concept. So therefore, they're walking away from it every which way they can. It's nothing stopping you installing things separately yourself that do that in, you know, multiple formats, but they don't want you to have that out of the box experience where those things are targeted, you know, for their vulnerabilities. It's other people's vulnerabilities, not their own inherent vulnerability.
Go on, Chris. You got something to say?
I think it's totally fair to Apple to walk away from it because Apple was the only OS vendor that had to do their own version of Java. They were the only one. Oracle and Sun were already doing it for Windows. They were already doing it for Linux. They were already doing it for other Unixes. So, you know, I think it's totally fair for them to walk away from it. I think it's also fair for them to say, you know what, this common exploit vector. Java, this common exploit vector, Flash, we're not going to keep installing it by default. If users want to install that exploit vector and make their, you know, system less secure, that's their business, not ours. And we're, you know, we're doing what we can as far as getting rid of the unsafe stuff off the system to begin with, you know, giving you options to lock the system down even more. I mean, there's only so much they can do to make up for people being stupid. I mean, right? I mean, there's only so much that can be done. Unless they just make it straight up OS, you know, iOS style lockdown. Everything's on lockdown. Everything's signed. End of story. You know, no jailbreak. Screw you. I mean, that's their only other option at this point.
And HTML5 taking up more and I think space in the
video. Whoa. No one's got any of this. Shut up. No one's got any of that. Right, Andy, you're DHM, so on, say what you were going to say.
I was just going to say that there's on a multitasking and an open platform like macOS compared to iOS, where you can get away with saying no Flash, no this, it's a closed system. There's so much stuff that people want and need their open-ended Mac desktop systems to do that you just can't get away with ruling stuff exactly. Like that out, which is why Flash is still on the Mac, why Java's still on the Mac, and all those things still have to be, because if you start cutting people off that need options on their main computing tool from whole chunks of the rest of the internet, which, let's face it, is still mostly Windows, then it's just that way. It's just like chopping your foot off and letting gangrene take over.
Yeah, I don't want to have a conversation about the do's and don'ts of how open they are to viruses and malware. As a corporate response to that, I just find, well, hang on, we use this stuff for years. We've got tons of machines out there. You know, people are telling me at the London Mac User Group a week ago about their G3 iMac and how much they still like it, and it still runs and picks up email. It works just fine. And you know, people keep their Macs. There's a tradition of holding onto your Macs. I've never thrown a Mac away that I've owned, and I never will. And to just walk away from it as a corporate policy, I just find a little bit...
It was also it would be a massive great nail in the coffin for the desktop experience for Mac.
I think so. Not good. Microsoft. I'm not going to talk about Microsoft issuing an update for Service Pack 2.
Can we not talk about Steve Jobs and his stupid Willy Wonka fixation?
Steve Jobs has apparently, when they were selling the 1 millionth iMac after returning from all of the crap that they put up with under John What's His Face, decided he was going to dress up as Willy Wonka. It's perfectly true. I lie to you not. And he was going to have a golden iMac in which there would be a ticket, and if you got it, you got your money back, and you got a tour of the Cupertino campus, which I think is actually pretty crap. Mostly because if you won with Willy Wonka, you got the factory.
That would have been better than giving it to Tim Cook, wouldn't it?
That's crap.
Just, I
what are you
going to
get if you if it was that
there's there, no success. Open the box. Whoever gets the ticket, you know, have the company. Do what you want with it.
Exactly.
Let's be fair. The only promise was a lifetime supply of chocolate. You weren't promised the factory.
Oh, okay.
It ended up winning the factory.
There's a lovely picture.
But the intention was to find the person that was most deserving of winning the factory, wasn't it?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Maybe that was his plan all along, which is why Tim doesn't like it.
Or not just to get a load of kids into his factory.
I don't think Tim Cook worked there when they made the iMac.
There's a lovely picture here of Johnny Depp next to the Apple campus monolith.
No, but I also choose to believe that Steve Jobs has got style and class, and he would have been Gene Wilder Willy Wonka.
Absolutely. I hope absolutely. So.
Well, based on the fact the movie hadn't been made, yes, he would have had no choice, would he? So we're talking about 1990, something, 1998, 99, something like that. So
something doesn't smell right with this. I mean, I can go with the fact they might have had this competition, but there's no way Steve Jobs would have dressed up as Willy Wonka. I mean, come on.
Number one, I believe he would do it. Number two, I wanted to see it. I want the people that made that hologram for Tupac at Coachella. I want them to make a hologram Steve Jobs dressed up like Willy Wonka and make him walk around Apple campus. I want to see that. That's what I want. If I were Steve Jobs, I absolutely would have done it. I would have said, screw California sweepstakes law. I would have dressed up like Willy Wonka and made a big deal out of it.
Well, he's pulled some other crap in his life that you know he would have done.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sure. I think it's a genius idea.
It's not alien to him.
I'm angry the lawyers nixed it.
I want to see. In fact, actually,
I've done everything in my power to buy the million iMac.
I think next week we should all dress up as Willy Wonka in honor. I'll do it.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
Top hat. Don, you'd look great.
Does that mean we have to eat chocolate all afternoon? Because I can't do that.
Oh, absolutely. No. Cadbury's mini eggs.
No, I can't do that.
Nothing else. Cadbury's mini eggs. Oh.
It'll be.
Or the Lindt cherry bomb things. Oh, they're gorgeous.
World of pure imagination.
There you go.
I've changed my mind. This podcast and all the others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They have kept us afloat for 3 years now. We love them to bits. We've got a long-term relationship with them that we're very proud of, and they are too, which is nice. I'm going to see Craig, the guy at UK2 who does all the liaison with us for marketing and so on, and he's coming out for dinner with me. But as far as they're concerned, they're locked into supporting us for a while yet. We couldn't do the shows without them. We've got a whole pile of codes. We're going to find a way of getting these up on the website. We only got them the day before yesterday, so do bear with us. But basically, if you want to buy anything from UK2, you've now got a combination of voucher codes, which is phenomenal. Before, you just got 15% off all your DNS back, and that was it. Now, if you type in British Tech DNS, you're going to get free DNS for 2 years. That's it. If you type in British Tech Domains for domain registration, previously you got 15% off. You're now going to get 20% off domain registration. Love that. British Tech VPN will give you 50% off your first month's VPN charges, which is a huge amount potentially. And British Tech Server will get you £50 off any gigabit server that's on any contract length that you sign up for online. You can't ring up and get that deal. You've got to do it online. And British Tech VPS gives you your first month free with a VPS server. If you pick the lowest level server, that's only about £8.95 for the month or below. What they'll do is give you £8.95, or they'll give you first month free of whatever charges there are. So that's a minimum. There's a great little slider for VPS that you can use, which is brilliant. So there you go. British Tech DNS, British Tech Domains, British Tech VPN, British Tech Server, and British Tech VPS. We'll put something up this weekend on the website that'll guide you through those. But you can use more than one code. So if you're basket has got more of those things in. Keep putting the things in, and you'll keep getting the discounts on whatever it applies to. So, and if you get a problem, give me a shout, and I'll go and talk to. We'll go and talk to it next year. All right. Thank you very much. UK 2. Right then, before we go any further, we've got another fantastic tip from our mate Gazmaz, and it's brought to you in association with TechSmith, and particularly Camtasia 2. Fantastic piece of software.
Hi everyone, Gazmaz here with two tips for the wonderful Mac show, brought to you from the British Tech Network. This tip also comes with the help of Camtasia from TechSmith. Now I bet a lot of you out there like using Dashboard. But some of you may not like the way it appears, like a new space in OS Lion. OS Lion? All right, Mac OS Lion, whichever you like. You see, it just slides in like a new space. Well, I used to like the way it appeared in Snow Leopard. There's an easy way around it. Simply go to your system preferences, click on Mission Control, and as you can see here, Show Dashboard as a Space is probably already checked. Uncheck it, close down your system preferences, and then when you click your dashboard, it appears just as it used to, and all of your favorite dashboard widgets will appear. Now, of course, this isn't the true dashboard widgets that I have, but this is a bit of a test environment, you see, so I don't want you to see all those secret widgets that I've got. Press the dashboard button again on your keyboard, and it goes back as it used to, just disappears out of your way. That's what I like about dashboard widgets. Okay, not only have I got one tip, I've got another tip. Did I say that at the start? Probably not. Anyway, here we go. My second tip. Go into Finder. Right, as you can see in Finder, I've got several items which are named very similarly. There's an image called Test. I'm going to press and hold Command. There's also a PDF called Test. There's also another file, which is a document called Test. Now, all of those actually have got something to do with one particular project that I've got on the go. So I'm now going to right-click my mouse, and the very first item, as you can see, says New Folder with Selection 3 Items. If I click on that, Finder very neatly for me, puts them into a new folder, which I can rename. In this case, Test. Yeah, I know it's pretty lame, but put up with it. Press Return, and now those three items sit in that folder. Simple. You can do selections from anywhere within Finder. Now, actually, I didn't really want to do that, so I'm going to press Command-Z and Command-Z again, and it puts everything back the way it was, just in case you make a mistake. Actually, that's three tips. You lucky, lucky people. Anyway, that's all the tips I've got this week, and I hope you have a great Mac week. Gazmaz, signing off.
Thank you, Gaz. So, have we got any cool things? Mr. McAllister.
Go on. Well, I've got two cool things. One's first one is Sparrow. It's not new, but no. They brought it's basically a mail app, a mail client, and they've had it for the Mac for a while. And I haven't really used it much on the Mac, to be honest. But they brought it out on the iPhone. They still haven't got an iPad version, and it's great. I really like it. I really enjoy using it on the iPhone. So I've actually started to use it on the Mac as well, and really nice. Still hasn't got push notifications or push email, but that doesn't bother me because I try and be a bit more sort of. I fetch my mail when I want it rather than having it pushed to me, so it doesn't really bother me. But it's really nice client. It's not too expensive. It's very much sort of styled on the sort of like Twitter interface. So if you like your mail in like a nice long thin panel and some nice features in there as well, it's well worth a check out. That's Sparrow. You can use it for Gmail and you can use it for Apple's mail system as well.
It was about a tenner, wasn't it?
I can't remember if they it might have come down in price in then. I don't remember it being particularly expensive.
No, mine was about a tenner. I think it's less than that now, but it was about a tenner. And it was very, very good, though. Mm-hmm. It does work. It does work very well.
And the other one is a free application for a limited time period. I decided I'm going to let SEO Tutor for Mac go free for a little while. So if you know anyone who's new to the Mac and wants to download it and have a play with one of the SEO Tutor apps, I've just thrown the Switch. I think it'll probably take a couple of hours for it to filter through the to the app stores, but both on the Mac and on the iPad as well. So if you wanted to check out the SEO Tutor app itself, you can go and download the Mac version for free. So that's about, I think it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of Mac tutorials. It's really aimed at people who are brand new to the Mac, so it's great if you've got a relative or something, you can just let them know about it as well, and they can go ahead and download
it. Put my mother on it directly.
Super.
So there you go. Pick. Mr. Swagger, what have you got for us?
Yes. Well, I had Tweetbot, which I paid money for, if you can believe that or not. But, you know, Don's SEO app is looking, since it's free, that's more up my alley. So I might have to go with that one. Now, I have to say Tweetbot, and I know everybody else in the world has it except me. But a few weeks ago, I haven't been able to, you know, praise it here on this show. And I use it every single day. It's my preferred Twitter app out of everything. I officially hate TweetDeck, so I really want to dump it soon.
New TweetDeck is like a boil that's gone septic.
And that's putting it mildly.
With an ingrowing really hair sucks. In the middle.
Yeah, that, that's quite right. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Nope, that's the end of that. Oh, we missed that. Say again.
I said that TweetBot worth every single cent. If you know I bought it, then it must be good.
Excellent.
Good point.
Tweetbot is free. No desktop client. Everyone that I know is screaming for a desktop isn't client. Free.
Hmm? Yeah.
Tweetbot.
Everybody should tweet at @topbot_Paul approximately once every 5 minutes and ask for it.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll like that. Don't tell him I sent you.
Tweetbot's not free. I got that wrong then. £2 something. £2.39 or something like that it was. iPhone Sparrow is $1.99 for the iPhone apparently at the moment, and it's $2.99 in the US store. Thank you, Teresa, and thank you, Willy's Web. Yeah, good picks, mate. Well done. But we need a desktop client. Desktop client for
TweetDeck. Please save us from this Twitter TweetDeck hell that we're in now, guy. Is there any way to go back to the other one?
Yeah, you, as long as you get the old air files, you're good. I've got air files for the last three, so there you go.
Oh, God.
But the only problem you get with that is it glitches on air for some reason. It's like you start typing and it'll go back to the start and start typing again. It's there's little glitches like that pop up regularly in it. Chris, what have you got for us, mate?
Logitech has a new cover for the iPad with a built-in keyboard. It's the ultra-thin keyboard cover for iPad. It works with the iPad 2 and the iPad 3. It has a little connector that snaps on where the smart cover snaps on with the magnets. Works just like that. And you can flip it over and slide in your iMac and use it like a little tiny laptop. But if you're
iPad, not iMac.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Whatever I said. What I meant was iPad, obviously.
It looks stunning.
Yeah, it's really slick. It looks really well designed, and have done a couple previous keyboard covers that are also very slick. And this one just came out. I haven't even got my hands on it, but I already want it.
I want one. I saw it the other day, and I love it already.
Right, $99 US.
That's pretty expensive, no?
That's about average for the bare ones, at least.
It's about the same, about £69. So, yes, I guess it's the right price, but I still think that's a bit expensive for what they are.
There are a few you can get for about £20 on Amazon, but not Logitech.
There we go. Good pick, mate. Love that. Really do. It looks slick as snot. That's the thing, isn't it? It's nice and shiny, and it'll look crap after 3 months when your skin's flakes are all over it, but.
Yeah, but for that 3 months, you are going to be riding in style.
Super gorgeous. Mr. Lee, what do you have for us, mate?
I've got a bit of hardware for a change as well. I'm going for the Click by HengeDox. And I'll put the URL in the chat room.
Thank you.
What that is it's a little bit of plastic dock thing that you plug in your Apple wireless keyboards and your Magic Trackpad. And it keeps them together so that you can use it on the sofa or just have them on your desk and move them as one unit. Keeps them together next to each other. It's got built-in switches for the power buttons. It's just really cool.
Price is $24.95, which is significantly better than the really expensive crap that's got the rechargeable stuff in it that's in the Apple Store.
Yeah.
Which is like £60.
No, you need those as well. It's just a plastic dock to put those in.
No. No, if you go to, you know, that when you get your trackpad and your keyboard,
yeah,
in the Mac Store, there's like a little thing there that you can get,
which is
the rechargeable jobby, and they're like £70, £60. They're more expensive than the damn keyboard itself.
Mm.
I don't need that. I just need a plastic bit. So the plastic bit at $24.99, mate, huge thumbs up.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And it's great if you use it on the sofa or whatever, or yeah, you know, just move it around on your desk. It's just useful.
Excellent pick. I like that one, mate. I like it a lot. Very good pick.
I like it a lot.
Thank you. I'm getting told off for going very good, very, very good next. So I thought I'd change what I said. And I do.
Yeah, like you've been a bit. Yeah, you've been a bit robotic.
No, I have not. Anyway.
Yeah.
DHM.
It's not sincere.
What have you got, DHM? Oh,
a whale.
Right. Okay. Time Machine, which is brilliant because it gets you backed up, and that's always good. Not so good at some things. Obviously, in the past, we've had Ewan asking things about how do you change the interval that Time Machine backs up, and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, my pick is a small app which you do have to pay for. You have to either pay $40 or $60 by a company called Decimus called Sync, SYNK, which is like Time Machine, but like with steroids and acid all thrown in for good measure. So basically, it's a GUI for the rsync command in terminal. So it allows you to set up your own backup schedules to your own devices at your own times. And it'll do, you know, bootable clone backups. It'll do incremental Time Machine style backups. It'll do it to network storage. It'll do it to local storage. It'll do it to cloud storage. It'll do it when you want it. It'll do individual file backups. You can tell it to do backups on a minute by minute live basis. You can tell it to keep multiple folders in sync with each other. And what's also quite nice is you can tell it when I open Logic or when I open so-and-so, stop it. So you can have it syncing a set of folders with all of your projects and things in it. And you can say, as soon as I open Logic, don't back up anymore. As soon as Logic closes, start backing up again.
We like that based on the crap that we've had with the machine. Thank you, mate. Good pick. But it's a bit expensive.
It is. It's 40 for the standard and $40. So, you know, 30 quid, 40 quid. So it's not like break the bank. But I mean, people are always asking me about, you know, if I've got multiple computers, how do I keep my, you know, folders in sync and stuff like that, which it does as well as pure backing up. So you can sync data.
ChronoSync's about $39 as well. So it's not a million miles away.
It's not out of the ballpark, no, but I think it does a bit more. It's a bit more techie. It does a bit. It has got a few more features bolted on to ChronoSync, which is. So there you go.
Thanks,
Decimus,
mate.
Software. Sync, the K. Decimus.
Very good. I got two picks, and I really like these. If you've got a MacBook Pro, you're going to love this one. You get these on eBay, and they're little flimsy sheets of plastic and rubber. Type stuff, and you can get them in pink, blue, green, black, orange, and you get them for different each styles of Mac, with the 11-inch MacBook Air, that kind of thing. This was £1, that's it, and I bought three or four of them, and they're just little tiny rubber recoveries that go over the tops of your keys and make sure that if there's any flexion or anything like that, they don't end up scratching your screen, and it's really noticeable if you've got the what's it on. The only thing is that they haven't made one for the brand new ones, so the 2012s. And I've had to make a little amendment here to get it to function. But there you go. It's a great little thing. It's actually really nice to type on. Generally speaking, if I've got a shed load of typing to do, I'll pull it off for the day and stick it on the side. But and it keeps the crap out of your keys as well. So it acts as like a little spill cover if you're worried about it. If you're doing it on the sofa and you've got a beer next to you and that kind of thing. I always leave it on for that. But it's a really nice feel to it. And I say that was £1 on eBay. And I bought three of them. And the other thing is the Cerulean Bluetooth keyboard. Works beautifully with your Apple TV. It's got lovely keys. It's got the crossover keys, so you've got a real positive press. It's dead easy to type on, even with my pudgy pork sausages. And it's Bluetooth, and it goes really well with your iPad, and it syncs with your Apple TV, and it's a piece of cake to retype your network password, your Netflix password, when it buggers off. And it's all rechargeable as well. £29. Rechargeable batteries, just got a mini USB connector, there you go. And you get a little retractable cord with it. That's brilliant.
How long's the battery life on that thing, Ewan?
I haven't run it out yet. I've had it for 3 weeks and I've not run it out. So.
Oh, sweet.
It's great. I love it. I haven't used it. It's not like I use it all day, every day. I'll probably use it on the iPad. I've probably done about 3 hours of use on the iPad so far with it total. So it's on and off faster than horse draws, but it's... £29 at Maplin. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, the usual places, screencastonline.com for the weekly iOS and Mac tutorials. If you do a quick search for SEO Tutor on the App Store or on the Mac App Store, you'll find my SEO Tutor applications. And don't forget, the Mac one is free for a limited period. And on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And of course, you're famous now, having been on AppChat.
Of course, yeah. Carl, had a little interview with Carl a couple of days ago. It went out this week. So that was, no, it was good. I enjoyed that. It was good.
Good.
Yeah, get more information about the background to
the
app.
Did you get a huge surge in sales?
I should check, shouldn't I?
That's why he made it free.
No.
Yeah, the sales have topped out now.
Yeah, they've plummeted.
No. Kyle, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Easiest place is Twitter, at Kyle Swagger, or at kyleswagger.com.
Or listen to Filipino television, hear you as the voice.
Yes, if playoffs are coming, get signed up with your cable provider, NBA Premium TV.
Or sitting crying in the corner, counting out $40 bills.
Monopoly money, of course.
$80, or $40. It's only Will Green and Inatco are going to take 20 each.
20 and 20. See, now I can't get that thing for $40 now, for the time machine.
I'll get their PayPal address for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Forsman, where are you, pal?
I am at Ars Technica. So just go to arstechnica.com because it's awesome. And I'm also at the Twitter, Forsmac.
Because he's awesome.
Because I'm awesome.
And on the photo.
Basically, just a ton of awesome coming your way. Get ready.
Superb. Superb. Thank you very much. Mr. Lee, where are you?
I'm at Longball on Twitter. And also through London Mac User Group at lmug.org.uk. We've got an Apple TV talk coming up next month with a raffle prize of an Apple TV. So
excellent. Are we doing a keynote for the WWDC?
We will be, yeah, definitely. We're sorting out the venue for it, and we'll let people know through Twitter, through our website, and through you guys exactly what we're doing, but we definitely will be doing something.
Excellent. Thank you. And last but by no means least, DHM, where are you, pal?
I'm also on Twitter.
At Dr. Happy Mac.
Oh, is there more to... I thought you just turned it on, and I thought I was Twitter, actually. Probably. Yes, at Dr. Happy Mac. Dr. Happy Mac. So
you're the culprit for TweetDeck, then?
I did that, yes.
Yeah, gimp.
Yes.
I'm Ewan Rankin. I'm at Ewan Rankin. Just to say thank you very much to people that have left iTunes reviews. It makes an enormous difference to us. Please, please, please subscribe to us in iTunes for a couple of weeks and then unsubscribe and subscribe again and keep subscribing and off and on so that we can keep up there. We're doing really well. We've been number one Mac show now for nearly a month, so thank you very much for keeping us well high.
That's reasonably impressive, isn't it? Because with iTunes, it's when it ranks it, it's not... total downloads, it's the number of increases in downloads each week.
Yeah, it does both. And we've been in the top 10 for number of downloads as well as for quite a while. So thank you for that. Sheila Hyland wrote us a lovely review. Great show, lots of useful info. Ingenious improvisation by Steve Neighbour in Seville. Keep smiling, Steve. Anders, truly informative insight, analysis of the latest app news. The team discuss hot topics, even more obscure items, and the range of opinions gives a balanced view. And Orca wrote down, one of the best Mac shows on the interwebs today. Great guests, lots of fun. Do yourself a favour and have a listen. Thanks ever so much to those three, and thanks ever so much to the 30 other people who've written something as well. All of the shows need your reviews, so please, please, please go and have a go. If you haven't had a listen yet to Worlds Apart, Dad and the Dude, and any of the shows that are non-tech based, go and give them a go because they really are good, even though I say so myself. And I've not made two of those, so go and give them a try. Thanks ever so much for everybody so far. You're the reason that we're doing so well at the moment, and hopefully we can keep churning out the stuff for you. Thanks a lot. We'll be back again next week. We've got, hopefully I'm going to do a daily show more than once, and maybe daily would be a bit of an ambitious start, but you know, once is, yeah. It's a weekly show.
Great.
The weekly news show. We're also going to have Big Show. Big Show's changed its time. Big Show will now be at 8:30 on Thursday nights. We're not going to do 9:30 because the contractor was keeping me out as finished, so I'm back in time. And we'll be back on Friday next week when the weekend starts here. We're all off to go in a Google Hangout and get drunk now. Have a good time. See you all. Thanks for coming.